Think of those cliché sentiments and sentences and testimonies we have peddled as believers in our young age. We would say things like, I can't give a bribe because I am a Christian, or it is sin to have sex before marriage, so I won't do it, or money can't buy me happiness or love. As a philosopher would say, one philosopher back in the day would say, time will tell. Time basically just equalizes a lot of things. It is easier to say these things when you not perceive an opportunity to actually exercise them. Just imagine it. How can you talk about money, happiness, and love in the same sentence or paragraph when you don't know how either of the three looks like, or don't even know how all of them look like in one instance? Basically, if we are going to say that money can't buy me love, and you don't know what love is in the first place, most of us as believers in our young age don't know what it means to be in love until you get married and be like, damn, this thing is different. Or when you have gone through such kind of frustration, such kind of failures in your life, and then you experience the love of God in a whole different way. That's when you can actually say, money can't buy me love, because you understand what love is. But some of us have not exactly experienced God that way for us to actually say these sentiments, is because you don't know God like that. You just know Him as words in the Bible. Or you saying that you can't have sex before marriage, when basically you don't have a deep pocket, or you have a face of stone, and you're basically rude. Don't even have opportunities to actually test that theory. So how can you say that such words when you don't even have all those things? You don't have the opportunities to actually experience such kinds of testimonies, such kinds of confidence that you're not able to fail in such kind of a critical area until you face them. So basically, those ones who have faced all these things, those ones who have an understanding of what money is, of what money provides, and such opportunities that money gives, can easily, and they have actually conquered such kind of experiences, can say all these things. They can say that money cannot buy me love, or I cannot have sex before marriage, because they have opportunities, they have experienced it already. I have realized that those ones who have failed on these areas, those ones who have experienced such kind of temptations and trials, tend to be a little bit calculated in their wordings. Tend to be a little bit thoughtful in their utterances, because they have understood what God says in His word, that my grace is made sufficient in your weakness. They have understood what it means. They have seen it work in their lives. And so when they utter these words, they have the confidence that they have understood what it means. So I do not understand how some of us who have never experienced such kind of failure, such kind of temptations in such a broad scale, would get the confidence to make themselves the heroes of stories that they have never experienced. Or they can try to make themselves the standard to those of us who have faced such kind of failures and frustrations. Well, except for pastors, because they are there to speak the ordinances of God. God speaks to these people in different areas, even those ones who have never experienced such kind of frustration, so they understand and they speak the ordinances of God. That is the assumption. If they don't speak of the ordinances of God, that's not about me. If they're not in the line of God, that is not about me. That is with them, and they are facing a higher danger. To tell yourself that you're a pastor and you're not in the same line with your master, that is none of my business. That is you and him. But there is one difference. The reason why I cannot be the standard, it's only Christ to be the standard, is because he was tempted in every kind of way. And yet, and this is the important part, he overcame. And so he becomes the standard, and so he becomes the hero of the story. Basically, if he says, do not lie, he understands what that means. Because he has faced it already. And not just faced it, he has conquered it. And therefore, in my weakness, in my failures, he is made strong. And therefore, I have a good cheer. I am going to have a good cheer because he has overcome the world. Therefore, he becomes the hero of the story. He becomes the standard of the story. And just to make sure that we don't fail, we don't go on and lose it, he provides the Holy Spirit to enable us walk this life, win these temptations, win these trials. And therefore, my fellow believers, don't become the one. Don't believe that because you think you have not failed yet, you become the standard. Wait, because Paul says, you who thinks you are strong, you who thinks you are standing, watch out not to fail, not to fall. So boast of your weaknesses the way you boast of your strengths. Boast of them, be like, yeah, I have failed. But do you know what? I have good cheer because he has overcome the world and he has forgiven me of my sins. So boast of your weaknesses. Be confident of your weaknesses. Then this guy who said that in the army, before one somebody is chosen to be a commander, he gets to show the compatriots of his weaknesses. Simon Sinek would say that in the army, as they are going to fight, they do not think of those guys who they're fighting at home, or the only thing is like, this person I am with here, I am going to do everything, my best, to make sure that he is safe. And another thing is probably to expose your fears. For one to actually trust that you are with them in this journey, they have to know your weaknesses too. The way you talk about your strengths is the same way that you need to talk about your weaknesses. Because the only way people can see that God is doing work in you and through you and is using you to change the world is if they understand that you also have failures. You also have failed and you don't boast or you don't find ways to justify your failures. Instead, you're broken heart and you've repented. So you are not the one. Just one caveat as you, some of us find ways to boast of our weaknesses and even think that you're stronger in them. Just one caveat. As you boast of these things, as you tell people the stories of your life, as God has taken through you through all these kinds of things, one thing that is important, make sure your name is written in the book of life. That is the key part. So that when you boast of your failures, it's not as to show that you are able to fail, but it's because His grace is made sufficient in you. And therefore that means you are walking with Him. So you are not the one. You're not the hero of the story. He is the hero of the story.